It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and Let's Talk Legal.
Hey, welcome to the program here on Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240, with normally with Cecil Harvell and also Wes Collins. And Wes is here, but also Russell Alexander is here with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good to have you with us here today. And what are we talking about today, Wes?
Well, we've got Russell back here. We had him here a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Russell's one of his primary areas of practice with the law firm is in the area of bankruptcy. And we haven't, I mean, we've been on the air 5 years and really haven't talked too much about bankruptcy.
Longer than five. See, how old are your kids?
Yeah, exactly. maybe 8 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, so let's talk about bankruptcy a little bit. Russell, where do we start?
Sure thing.
I guess we've come close. We've talked about foreclosure.
You're sort of headed in that direction when you have the foreclosure. But bankruptcy is basically an opportunity for people who owe creditors a lot of money to get out from under this huge burden that's just mm-hmm. been bothering them for, I'm sure, years and years and years. It's basically sort of a last resort. It's a very drastic sort of remedy, but it's provided to us by the federal mm-hmm. bankruptcy code.
Well, let me stop with you there for a second, Russell, because I know a lot of people know there's different types of bankruptcy. We want to get into that. But why does the state have an interest in this and in seeing that people get a second crack, a second chance? I mean, this goes back to law school, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the law provides a very, I guess it just gives people a fresh start, I think, is the aim, the policy behind the law, to give them a do-over. It's like, okay, you've gotten in over your head. We'll give you another chance so you can start over, get back on your feet, and hopefully build your credit back up and go forward.
There was a phrase that was used back with the auto industry that was called a managed bankruptcy, and that, I think that kind of helps to understand, you know, because when things are spinning out of control, you just don't feel like you can, you know, you can take any steps to right.
Right. Well, I think, you know, to answer your previous question, you know, Ben, about mm-hmm. what's the philosophy behind bankruptcy? Why in the world would the government want us to, you know, basically get a free pass on debts, mm-hmm. those kind of things? The way I think about it is that, you know, the law recognizes that sometimes people, you know, get in situations basically not because they've been frivolous with their finances, just because of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really shown, I think, as a result of, you know, the downturn in the economy. And my goodness, we've had more bankruptcy filings in the past 5 years than we've had in probably the previous 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's as a result of, you know, the economy.
People losing a job, unexpected illnesses.
Right. Yeah. Those kind of things, you know, developers getting, you mm-hmm. know, stuck with the paper and not able to turn the property, those kind of situations. So I think the law recognizes that those circumstances do exist, and it's not as though bankruptcy is just that free pass and, hey, then you're free to do whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. Russell will talk about that more.
Right.
I mean, it sticks with you for a while.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a plan.
It is a plan.
Right.
And I think the law recognizes that, you know, we're better off to go through that plan to disclose all of your assets and all of your debts and take care of whatever we can, you know, under the plan, depending on what type of bankruptcy it is, as opposed to just, you know, to continue to perpetuate this problem and not ever be able to recover.
Yeah, unlike NASCAR, you're not back on the lead lap right away with that free pass. You still got a lot of cars to pass to get
That's
back
true.
Up.
And Wes makes a very good point. I mean, I think the bankruptcies, the main driving force behind a lot of the bankruptcies, they've done studies on this type of thing, statistical studies, and they've shown that basically the two main reasons that people get into the sort of debt where they have to file bankruptcy are, A, medical debts from, you know, maybe a serious illness like cancer, or you have a sudden condition that occurs, or student loan debt. Mm-hmm. It creates a huge burden on people trying to pay that back. Now, on the flip side of that, unfortunately, most student loan debt is non-dischargeable in bankruptcy, so you can't really get out from under that, but you can get rid of everything else that's out there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think one of the questions people always ask is, or they'll say, well, I'll just declare bankruptcy. You really have to – how bad does it have to be?
Well, I mean, it just depends on the person's particular situation, and – I think you have to sort of sit down and look at your finances and see how far behind you are. Typically, if you're filing bankruptcy, you've gotten to a point where at the end of the day, there's absolutely nothing left over, and you're just stretched as mm-hmm. thin as you can go. It is a pretty drastic remedy. It affects your credit pretty negatively, but usually when these people come in to file, say, like a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, they're already to the point where they've gotten so delinquent on some of their debts that their credit is pretty much, you know,
shot.
Yeah, at that point, yeah, to be honest, it's pretty shot anyway. So
let's talk about the different kinds then.
Okay, well, I think you referred to earlier maybe like GM's bankruptcy.
Right.
That's what we call a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That's reorganization. That's for big businesses. Well, not just big businesses, but businesses or individuals who have a lot of commercial-type debt. So you're not talking about somebody who's behind on their car loan or behind on their house. You're usually talking about millions of dollars of assets, millions of dollars of debt as well,
mm-hmm.
arising out of the operation of a business. And that's a chance for the business to come into bankruptcy and reorganize and restructure their debts with their creditors. The two that are filed most by individuals are the Chapter 7s and Chapter 13s.
Mm-hmm.
And a Chapter 7 is basically just a total discharge of your debt. You come into the bankruptcy court, you get to retain a certain amount of property that's allowed to you by the state exemptions, and then all the other debt is just discharged.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big bankruptcy that helps you get out from under, you know, all of your existing debts. And that's the one that's very impactful to your credit score.
You say that's 13?
Chapter 7.
Chapter 7, okay.
Chapter 7. That sticks with you usually about 7 years or so.
Right.
And then the other one is Chapter 13, and that's what they call a wage earner plan. So that's the sort of bankruptcy you file if you're trying to retain some of your property. So mm-hmm. you can keep property that's over and above what the state exemptions allow you to have, but you have to pay back a certain percentage to your creditors over time, and that plan lasts for anywhere from 36 months, 3 years, to 60 months, which is 5 years. So
mm-hmm.
for a certain period of time between those two time periods, you've got to pay, you know, all of your net income that's left over after the end of the day has to go to pay those creditors.
Now, we have a lot of small businesses around here,
yeah.
And if they get behind, what kind of bankruptcy are they generally filing? Is that often a personal one?
It could be a Chapter 7, because that can be for, you know, individual mm-hmm. consumers, or it can be for businesses, and it just depends on whether they're going to try to carry that business forward,
mm-hmm.
or are they just going to, you know, sort of throw their hands
up
and walk away.
Yeah. Because a lot of people are still trying to carry on business.
Sure.
And that's one of the questions I imagine that comes up. Can I still be in business?
Yeah, I mean, you can, but it's very difficult. And Chapter 11 is the one that allows you to continue doing business but restructure your debt. So
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, if you've got, like Wes said, if you're a developer, maybe you've got some property that's performing and you're deriving income off that property, but maybe you've got other property where you're just totally underwater, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, this you know, mortgage I'm having to pay every month is just not worth it. So maybe you want to let that property go.
Separate them.
Sure, let that property go, let the bank take it back, and, you know, let that be the end of that debt, but then continue paying on this other debt, maybe at a better interest rate or something mm-hmm. like that. So
okay.
There's just a lot of options available.
Russell, at what time would you recommend that, you know, someone goes to talk to an attorney about the possibility of filing bankruptcy?
I definitely wouldn't let things get to the point where, you know, there's something hanging over your head, like all of a sudden you've got multiple foreclosures happening, and, you know, your hearing at that courthouse is going to be tomorrow, or the sale is going to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know,
that's like with, as you said, with foreclosures, when we've talked about that. And once you've gotten to that point, before you call an attorney, it's pretty late.
That's right. And, I mean, I think that's one of the things that you see that drives people to file bankruptcy is usually some sort of outside pressure that's being placed on them, either
mm-hmm.
by, you know, like a loss, like lawsuits or multiple lawsuits or foreclosures that are occurring. But definitely the earlier you get involved in the process, again, you have potentially more options available to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're trying to save your car and you're behind on your car loan, you don't want to wait until after the bank comes to repossess the vehicle to think about filing a bankruptcy. I mean, you can, there's something you can potentially do to get that car back, but, you know, sort of
right.
if it's
is
out
it
the gate,
it?
You know,
yeah.
it becomes harder at that point. So.
Yeah.
You know, Ben, when we have folks come in who are in trouble financially and have debt issues, you know, we're really trying to do what we can initially to keep them from having to file bankruptcy.
Right.
But a lot of times the folks come in, you know, so late in the process because obviously they don't have money to pay the credit card bill or the mortgage or the car payment or whatever it ends up being. So they certainly don't think they have the luxury of being able to go sit down with an attorney.
Right.
But, you know, the thing that I think people need to understand with regard to that is that most attorneys will sit down with you, at least we will, and sit down, you know, with the person and talk with them about what their options are, you know, at least once, you know, for nothing.
Yeah. And including how much will this cost me to do this?
Exactly. Right? Basically, you know, we'll do a without charge consultation, look at the situation, get all the information, and then let the client know how much it will cost, you know, in the event we have to go that route or some other route. But we really try to keep them out of bankruptcy if we can. The earlier they get to us, the higher likelihood that we keep them out of bankruptcy there is.
If you have questions about bankruptcy or any other legal matter going on right now, you can call us 800-818-2255, 247-7282-353-4674 as we continue with Let's Talk Legal. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins, attorneys at law here on the Talk Station. Russell Alexander and Wes Collins with us from the firm. And remember, you can go online, too, and listen to past shows at harbellandcollins.com. And Russell and Wes, as we talk about bankruptcy, again, a lot of people will come into your office. They're in over their head. Should they be trying to talk to their creditors at some point in time?
Yeah, I think it helps to try to see if you can't work out something with the creditor on the front end. A lot of creditors are willing to, you know, make a change in the interest rate or switch the note to interest only for a period to allow you to try to catch up. But sometimes, I mean, you have some creditors like the big, multinational creditors like JP Morgan Chase and the Bank of America and U.S. Bank and those sorts of banks. Sometimes it's harder to get to somebody to talk to.
Well, the farther they are away from the original paper, the original loan work, probably the less likely, right?
I would say that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, right. But how about local people? If you owe the local repair shop or something like that, you should be talking with them.
I would imagine so. I think it's always easier to work out a deal with somebody when you're dealing with them on a face-to-face or a personal basis, and you know these people and you see them in the community. I think there's a better chance for you to be able to resolve your debt without having to file bankruptcy in that case.
Now, we also see about big companies, they herald the day when they come out of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
What does that mean on a personal level? How do you come out of bankruptcy?
Well, in the Chapter 7, and that's, I should have said earlier, that's called a liquidation because you liquidate all the property that's non-exempt. But on a Chapter 7, you basically out very quickly. It involves doing some pre-filing counseling. You meet with the trustee. The trustee examines your case to see if you have any assets which they can sell, and then either they find assets which they can sell, which if you have assets you can sell, you probably shouldn't be filing a Chapter 7, but then there's a discharge granted. And
right.
that whole process usually takes the space of 3 or 4 months, I would say. I mean, if there's no problems and it goes through smoothly, it's a very quick sort of process.
But then your credit is damaged you have to then try to rebuild that.
That's true. And that, like we discussed earlier, that's about a 7-year period there for filing Chapter 7. So it takes a while to rebuild your credit. If you do a Chapter 13 where you actually repay some of your debts over time to your unsecured creditors, like your credit card companies and that sort of thing, then the damage to your credit is not as severe and it starts to be repaired much quicker.
If you are in the process of foreclosure, does it change things if you declare bankruptcy?
Yep. A couple angles on that. I mean, one is, do you want to keep the property?
Right.
But then I guess I should say the first thing is there's the automatic stay in bankruptcy, and that's a big reason why you want to file it, because that just stops every sort of debt collection action of any kind in its tracks. So you got that stay that gets granted, and then the foreclosure just stopped. It's not as if it had never occurred, but it stopped in its tracks, and all the time periods like a sale, even if the sale has gone forward at the courthouse steps, and there's that 10-day upset bid period, if you file your bankruptcy, then that 10 days stops running. It's just stayed. So if you're trying to maintain that property and continue to pay on it, then the bankruptcy court allows you the chance to pay everything that you're in arrears on the property without having to pay the total debt that's due. So if you're behind $10,000 on your loan, you can come in and file a Chapter 13 and maybe pay that $10,000 over, you know, a certain time period, and at the end of the bankruptcy, you'll be able to deem the mortgage current and then carry on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now from the bank's perspective, the creditor's perspective,
you know, yeah,
if you're going through,
they're not thrilled about that.
Well, I mean, if you're going through the foreclosure and a bankruptcy gets filed, and believe me, every bank out there has gotten really good at dealing with bankruptcies over the past several years, because a lot of their mm-hmm. customers have had to file, or businesses, individuals, so on and so forth. But there's a procedure that we have to go through in order to potentially get the right to proceed with the foreclosure on the property. And Russell, talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, there is such a thing as a motion for relief mm-hmm. from the automatic stay, but it can only be granted under certain circumstances, and it usually is involved in a situation where there's not any equity in the property to protect the creditor's interest. So if the creditor can come in and show, well, the mortgage that we're owed is like $150,000, the property's worth $120,000, well, there's no protection there for our security interest. So we need that stay lifted so we can recover our interest in the property now.
Right.
And a Chapter 13, it gets a little bit more complicated, because you're agreeing to pay back everything that you owe on the mortgage, typically, mm-hmm. if you're not releasing the property. I mean, you have the option of either surrendering the property, saying, I'm done with the property, take it back,
right,
sell it, or trying to retain and pay what you owe on it. But in that circumstance, you have to pay everything that you're owed on it, meaning all attorney's fees, all trustees' commission, all costs, all mm-hmm. Late fees and interest that's due. So, I mean, that's very difficult sometimes for a debtor to be able to do that, and if they can't do that, well, then that's a grounds for the creditor to come in and take the property back.
Got a few more minutes left here on bankruptcy. If you would like to call in and ask questions of Russell or Wes, you can give us a call at 800-818-2255. And don't forget to go to harvellandcollins.com to pick up some great information on their website there, too, including listen to past shows. And you can call to get that first free consultation that we talked about, 252-726-9050, 252-726-9050. More on Let's Talk Legal here on Coastal Daybreak in just a moment. Hey, welcome back to Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Station with Wes Collins and Russell Alexander, talking about bankruptcy. And Chris is on the line with us from Jacksonville. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's your question?
Yeah, my question is, I kind of have a special situation. Filed bankruptcy in December of 2011 in a different state, moved to Jacksonville in January 2012. I went in front of the trustee, got all that taken care of, I thought, and like a month later, my attorney actually committed suicide.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so now I'm starting to get letters from the trustee, from all of my debtors, saying that I still owe all this money. You know, of course, I paid quite a bit of money for this to get taken care of, and I'm just kind of wondering, what am I supposed to do at this point?
Well, that sounds like an interesting situation there, Chris. Would have to take a look at the sort of letters you're getting from the trustee's office. Now, you filed a Chapter 7?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm sort of having a hard time understanding why you'd be owing anything at that point, but, you know, I think that's something you could come in and meet with us at our office about, and we'd you know, be more than willing to discuss that with you. But you definitely, if you're receiving letters from the trustee, that's definitely something that's got to be addressed, and you probably need a new lawyer to deal with that.
Right.
Yeah, Chris, you know, also, clearly, if your attorney committed suicide, there are probably other issues going on in his life. So, I mean, you need someone, another attorney, to look at the situation and look at exactly what happened in the bankruptcy court, you know, what the final orders of the court were. If
yeah,
were
you being out of
orders,
state, you may not have heard everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So it's time to get a fresh look at that from, you know, another attorney. So you know exactly what you're dealing with.
Would he have any standing in this state to do anything?
No, I mean, I think it would have to run through the state where the bankruptcy was filed. I mean, it could potentially be transferred, but, you know, if he filed a Chapter 7 and they're saying he owes money, that's just...
Something's
off
amiss.
The rails
yeah.
there, yeah, yeah, a little bit, so...
All right.
Really? Okay.
All right, Chris.
I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah,
thanks,
and,
Chris.
And again, Chris, that that number for you to call is 252-726-9050 if you want to talk to the folks at Harvell and Collins, or just any, he needs a discussion somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, as attorneys who practice in this area, I mean, we could get on the bankruptcy court website using what's called a PACER service and see all the document filings with regard to that, you know, in any state.
Mm-hmm.
So just that's a great luxury, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
in most state court cases, as we normally talk about on this program, and we don't have the ability to just go on the internet and look at everything that's been filed in any file. We have to go to the courthouse and get copies.
But bankruptcy is different.
Yeah. Bankruptcy is different. You know, for an attorney that deals with federal court, then you're going to have a PACER account, P-A-C-E-R account. It's just an account that allows you to get on and see all the e-filings.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see exactly, you know, what has transpired in the respective file pretty quickly, you know, for Chris or anyone else. So that's a luxury for us attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're happy to see that the bankruptcy court and a lot of federal courts are to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've gotten technical.
Yeah.
Which is very good.
Well, that's good. Again, as we're talking about bankruptcy and when to file, how do you do? What's the process, real quickly?
Well, it's a federal court setting. There are a number of different courts here in North Carolina. Here in the Eastern District, which is everything Raleigh and East, I want to say there's like six or seven different courts. There's Wilmington, Greenville, Newbern, Elizabeth City, Fayetteville, Raleigh, Wilson. Basically, what you have to do is the first thing you have to do is there's a pre-filing credit counseling that you have to do through a service called Hummingbird. It's basically teaches you about, you know, debts, how to manage your debts. It's like sort of like an online quiz you sort of take.
And the horse already out of the barn by this point?
Yeah. Well, they require it.
It's
one of those things that's a requirement to file. And basically, you prepare what's called a bankruptcy petition. To which is attached or are attached several schedules showing your assets, your secured liabilities, your unsecured liabilities, any priority claims such as domestic support obligations or money that's owed to taxing authorities and that sort of thing.
Yeah, what happens to child support in a bankruptcy?
Typically non-dischargeable.
Right.
You've got to pay that back. If you're in arrears in child support, you got to pay all that back. Typically also tax, that sort of debt that comes from the government, if it's a tax liability, that doesn't go away either. There's some other debts, too, that are priority debts that don't go away, but those are the two main types of debts that you see that don't really go away. And then there's also attached to it a statement of financial affairs, which is a thorough document which goes through all of your financial history over the last couple of years, saying what have you transferred, what businesses have you been involved with, just any number of things. You know.
Okay, again, if you want to find out more about the process and also about whether or not this is the right move for you, you might want to contact the folks at Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. You can reach them at 252-726-9050, 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City, and on the web at harvellandcollins.com.